Sunday school is the heartbeat of the church. The church is only as strong as the family unit. So in Sunday school, we are shoring up the next generation to shine the gospel light. Sunday school is dedication, preparation, and hard work, but so is every other day in our Christian walk. And Sunday school is teaching our children to serve because we're leading them in service. So we're asking people to take up the torch of leadership in Sunday school with our children. We need you to help us. We have multiple staffing needs across all of the ages in Sunday school. If we do not fill these needs, then we're going to face more Sunday school closures due to insufficient staffing. And if we have to close our Sunday school rooms, it's our children, it's your children that pay the price. So we're asking all of you to help us bring the little children to Jesus. Submit a Sunday school ministry application and come join us on the Sunday school bus. Seatbelts, everyone!
Amen. Ushers, you can come get the table. And right on the Church Center app, the very homepage, there is a volunteer button. You can just click that and sign up there via there. Amen. A couple more quick announcements here this morning. This Wednesday, we have an exciting class that is starting that is going to minister. I believe it's going to minister, especially at this time of our church's season. We've lost some folks. Pass on to eternity. And we are offering a class called Grief Share, and this is going to be on Wednesday evenings. It's a support group that runs for 13 weeks, designed to help navigate loss and grief. And space is limited to 15 students. Brother Thompson, would you raise your hand? Sister Lori, would you raise your hand? They're going to be teaching that class. If you're interested, you can either see them or right there in the Church Center app, go to groups and then education, and then you can request to join the class right through Church Center as well. But it starts this Wednesday, October 4th. It's going to run through the end of the year. And if you're struggling with grief, if you had loss, and you need tools, you need help to work through that, it's a difficult time. We want to encourage you to join that class with brothers and sisters of like precious faith, and we're going to help each other. We're going to bind together, and we're going to work through the grief. Amen? Amen, amen. This Friday, October 6th, is all church prayer at 7 p.m. I would encourage everyone to be here right in the main sanctuary. With that, would you stand? Amen. Amen. Can you think of something that God has been good in your life? Think about that right now as we go before the Lord in prayer for this service. Let's ask that the Lord speak to our hearts. Is there something that you have a need for, a situation, if you want to indicate by a lifted hand? Amen. Look around. Call out a name this morning for those needs. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, so much, God. You're so good, Lord God. You've been faithful to us all our lives, God. You've been faithful, God. You've been good to us, Jesus, God. Through the ups and the downs, Lord Jesus, through the valleys, through the mountaintops, God, you're there, you're here, Lord, this morning as well. You saw the lifted hands, God, the knees that are represented by those hands, God. I pray you minister to every single one of them, Lord, in this service, through this week, the coming months, Lord God. You know the situation. You know the circumstance, God. I pray anoint the preaching of your word this morning. Anoint our hearts to receive, Lord God. Let it be good ground, Lord Jesus, this morning. Lord God, I pray. Let's give them a hand clap of praise as we go into worship this morning. Oh, I'm sorry. One need. I forgot. Right in front of me, Brother Daniel Banks is here. His mother is in need of healing, Sister Erin McKnight. And we want to pray for right that. I'm sorry, Brother Daniel. Let's go before the Lord for her. Lord, right now, you know the healing that she needs in her body and her mind, God. We pray you touch her right now. We bind together with our brother, Lord Jesus, for his mom, God. We pray healing, virtue flow, Lord God, over her right now, wherever she is at, God, I pray. We give you the praise. We give you the glory, the honor, Jesus. We thank you in advance, Lord God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in worship this morning.
Amen. In case you weren't here in the first session, we heard a word from the Lord. in addition to Pastor Seidel's message directly from God, saying, if you come before the throne, I will show you mercy. So I wanted to make sure, if you were in here, that invitation is extended to you this morning. Please come and worship the Lord with us today.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
All my life you have been faithful.
Goodness of God, I will sing of the goodness.
Behold, Jehovah, seated on the throne. Abba, Father, the well that overflows, the God who was and is and shall be forevermore. Holy is the Lord. Amen. Amen. Blessing and honor and glory and power.
Victory has a name, and it's Jesus.
are always fighting for us. Heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you.
At the mention of your greatness.
At the mention of your greatness. In your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silent. For you wear the victor's crown. So let your glory fill this temple. Let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you.
Hallelujah. You have overcome. You have overcome. Hallelujah. Overcome, every high thing must.
broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome.
Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken.
You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome.
Hallelujah. As we're making our way back to our seats, I just want to sing that chorus again of goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful.
All my life you have been so, so good.
You're the victor, Jesus.
Every breath that I am in, I will sing of the goodness of God.
One more time. All my life.
All my life you have been faithful.
All my life.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I
has he been good to you? Let's just worship him right now. All my life, I worship you. Let's press into that right now, church. All my life, you've been so good. So faithful. Been so good to us, God. Hallelujah. Let's just respond and receive that word. Be more than conquerors. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. You may be seated. As my heart is full this morning. My heart is full. Thinking about the goodness of God. And amen. Seeing all you brothers and sisters in the Lord, it's flashback seeing Keon here this morning. We used to come with Jordan Powell to youth group way back in the day, and all the shenanigans that we had, the fun we had. Amen. Amen. So many connections. So good to see all of you. Familiar faces. Some I don't know. Can't wait to meet you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I remember when I was in sixth grade, we had just moved to Bonn, Germany. My parents were missionaries for 40-plus years. I was born in Greece. We were there. Now it was a new field of labor. And those first few months, we lived in a one-bedroom apartment with a bed that pulled down out of the wall. Yeah, that was fun. My parents were then able to purchase a home in a small little village right outside of the city of Bonn, a village called Leesum. Tiny little town, maybe the size of Marshall, if you're familiar with that. That's where I live now. And we began to explore the neighborhood and saw that there was a little convenience store, a micro version of Quick Trip, so to speak. Yeah, no gas there, just sold some snacks if you needed milk or bread. You head to the village convenience store. So one Saturday early evening, I was like, I'm going down there, going to get some snacks. Only to find out that it had closed at like 5 p.m. that day. Yeah, it was closed the next day on Sunday. That was the culture. That was the lifestyle. Needless to say, the convenience store was not that convenient. We are truly spoiled, or I don't like to use that word with our kids. We're blessed in the United States. In a similarly sized village of Marshall, now I can hit up Quick Trip at any time of the day, 24/7, and can I get an amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. After our first year of marriage, Fiona and I rented a place near the Prairie Athletic Club in Sun Prairie. And then came the amazing invention that they had Pack 24. That's right. Get your workout in 24/7, any day of the week, day or night. We loved it. Didn't do much good, but we loved it. We love our drive-thrus. Why get out of the car when you can sit there and get it on the go? I mean, Panera Bread, think about it, built a whole new location here at Easttown, right across the road. Why? Drive-through. That's my guess. And man, I have not been to that one. I don't know. I don't know why I haven't gone, but I used to hate the old Panera Bread because it was horrible parking and you had to go in. So I stopped going, and now it's got a drive-through. Still haven't gone, but we love our drive-throughs. Black Friday's coming up, just a couple months. Woo woo. Yeah, it's lost its luster. I used to love that early morning hours standing in line. Lots of memories early in the morning with Jordan and James, 3 in the morning, picked them up, and we'd go stand in line. We're dumb. But my wife wanted that one thing, or my mother-in-law wanted that one thing for Adrian, and, you know, one item you have to have, and so you stand in line 3 in the morning. Now we just sit in our jammies, and if it's a qualifying item from Amazon over $25, it'll be at your house within 4 hours. Praise God. Man, it's wonderful to order at like 6 p.m. and in the morning, open the door. There it is. There's my toothpaste. I'm going to praise God. From going into Target to ordering ahead and picking up at a customer service to now drive-up service, even if it's just for one bottle of dish detergent. Yep. I did that recently, and then we forgot about another item, so we put another order in for one item, and you pick up both items at the same time, and they're like, what is this guy? Don't think ahead, I guess. How many of you, Pastor Seidel mentioned this morning, a checkbook. How many of you have written an actual check in the past month? How many of you have never written a check in your life? Well, we went from checks and cash to online banking and using Bill Pay to have the bank send our checks for us. To mobile banking, right on your phone. And some of you are like, ooh, that's so insecure. Probably. Probably going to hack us all and just we're all going to have no money someday. But you can deposit a check up to $10,000. You can deposit a check at Summit Credit Union right on your phone. Don't have to go to the bank. Take a picture, front, back, boom, you're done. Then you've got PayPal or Venmo. Come on now, Venmo. Anybody Venmo? Just sold a car seat 2 days ago. and a coffee maker, two separate people. Yep, they paid in Venmo, you know. If anyone wants to bless me right now with some Lego cash, my Venmo is, just come scan it real quick. Get your Venmo out, send me some money. You got to love the convenience of society that we live in today. If it's not convenient, forget about it. Ain't nobody got time for that. Seriously. We live in a convenient society. Convenience is a state of being able to proceed with something with little effort or difficulty. Need milk and you live in Marshall? Quick Trip's got milk. Don't need to go to Piggly Wiggly and Waterloo, which is, you know, 7 minutes away. Don't need to go to Pick and Save in Sun Prairie, which is like 10 minutes away, or Walmart or Woodman's, or which is a little farther away from us. No, Quick Trip's got it. I want milk with little effort or difficulty, Quick Trip. I actually just went and bought milk, I don't know, Thursday night, Tuesday night, one of the two, at like 11 o'clock at night, because I drank the last of the milk, and I thought Fiona might need milk in the morning for the kids. Convenient, quick, easy. Love it. Psalms 139, 7 through 10 says, "Where can I go from your spirit?" Or, "Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me." God is everywhere. He's like Quick Trip. You go to Marshall, it's there. Go to Waterloo, it's there. Poor Floridians, no Quick Trips. Go to Iowa, it's like Quick something. Star thing. I thought there was, but I wasn't, you know. Now, South Dakota, see? Dave's been everywhere. God's with you and Quick Trip's with you, Dave. He's with you when you woke up this morning, God is. He's here in this place right now. God will be with you on the car ride home. God is accessible. You don't have to go to the ends of the earth to find God. You don't have to go on a pilgrimage to find God. You don't have to go to a mountaintop to find God. God is accessible anywhere, anytime. Could be your closet at home. Could be your basement. Could be in the car. The bathroom at work, because you don't want to talk to God in front of everyone, so you go to the bathroom, take your break there, or on your walk outside in the park. God is accessible anywhere, anytime. God is convenient. And I love how God cares for us. The song we sang, goodness of God this morning. Psalms 103, verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Forget not all his benefits. God is a healer. God is love. He's joy. He's peace. He's long-suffering. He's kindness. He's goodness. He's faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God is a deliverer. God is a help in the time of trouble. God is a counselor. God is a comforter, and we've needed that as late here at Calvary Gospel. God is a rock. He's an anchor for our lives. God is wisdom. He directs our paths. God is a waymaker. God is our Savior. God is a convenient God. He's accessible. And man, oh man, when we tap into him. Psalm 68:19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits." The God of our salvation. He knows what you need. If you go to him, he knows what you need for that day. Tomorrow morning, wake up and talk to the Lord and say, "God, I need what you have for me today. You know what I'm going to face today." Are you thankful for a convenient God? Are you thankful that he's accessible? Are you thankful that you can go to him for all your needs? Let's clap our hands and give him praise for that. Convenience, it's amazing. This past Wednesday, speaking of Quick Trip, because of schedules, my boys didn't eat lunch until it was like 3 o'clock, something like that, maybe after. So they were not hungry to eat dinner right before church. And so, as you can expect, you know, it just all carries down. They're hungry after church. And unfortunately, we kind of hung around a little late, and I was thinking, oh, we'll hit the Dollar General in Marshall. And nope, they close at 9. Arrived in Marshall just after 9, and so we just missed it. So I was like, you know what? We've got convenience. Let's go to Quick Trip. We're out of cereal at home. Let's hit up Quick Trip, grab a box of cereal, and call it a night. Now, we rarely buy, I rarely buy anything except the basics like eggs or milk or maybe butter at Quick Trip. I was reminded on Wednesday that Quick Trip is convenient. However, I was reminded that there's an inconvenience to the convenience. And that inconvenience is one that affects the wallet. I walked out that night with a $6.29 box of cereal. Not the giant size. Not the family size. No, the smallest, tiniest box of cereal one could buy. Now, I like my cereal, but I don't want to pay for it. If you can get cereal for between 15 cents, now with inflation, maybe 15 and 20 cents an ounce, you're doing well. Honey Nut Cheerios, Costco, like 18 cents an ounce. That's my jam. This was about 60 cents an ounce. I looked at it, and I loudly said, whoa, oh, my word, that's expensive, as an employee walked by. Haven't bought a box of cereal from Quick Trip in a long time. We love the convenience, but, church, there's an inconvenience of cost that typically comes with that convenience. We love our video streaming, but we've got to pay that monthly streaming fee. We love our audio streaming like Pandora. My kids, I showed them Pandora, and now it's like, Pandora! As soon as we get in the van, it's like, Pandora, turn on Pandora. But if we want to skip whatever songs we don't want, unlimited, and we don't want to be interrupted by ads, we've got to pay that monthly fee. I don't. I just put on mute during the ads. And then when we skip too many times and you run out of skips, I change the channel and go to the next Pandora channel. Sure, Quick Trip is right around the corner, but there's an inconvenience to the convenience. I know what someone's thinking this morning. Pastor Phil, if you're about to go down the parallel spiritual track with that thought, you're not going to be making a compelling argument for a relationship with Jesus. Well, I'm going there. Folks, I wrestled and toiled over trying to put together a message, but God put this thought in my spirit this morning to present to you the inconvenience of a convenient God. The inconvenience of a convenient God. Convenience has snuck into the church. There's a common phrase in churches these days, come as you are. Now, I 100% agree with that statement. Come with your problems. Amen. Come with your cares. Amen. Come with hurts, scars, pains. Amen. Come with your sinful, immoral lifestyle. Amen. Come with your carefree life. Life is good. Amen. Come however you want. Amen. 100% agree. Come as you are. Amen. But the convenient church also says leave as you are. Come as you are and head home the same way. Just enjoy the worship. Get a good feeling. Check that box for the week. You don't really need to change, but that's the inconvenience. There's a cost for our convenient God. Come with your cares, but 1 Peter 5:7 says that we should cast all our cares upon him. We shouldn't take our cares home. We need to cast them on him. Come with your hurt, yes, amen. But Luke 4:18 says that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. We've got to give those hurts, those pains to him. We've got to open up that room in our hearts that we just lock away. It's what God calls us to do. Is, yeah, come as you are, but open yourself up and give it to me. Yes, come with your sinful, immoral lifestyles, but Hebrews 12:1 says to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. We've got to lay it aside. We've got to lay it at the altar. Yes, come as you are. We serve a convenient God, but 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We should come as we are, but we should leave a changed person. We should come to our prayer time at home as we are, but we should get off our knees, a changed person for that day, emboldened in Christ, stirred up in Christ, encouraged in Christ. We should bring our depression to God in prayer, but we should leaving it and walking away from it and say, God, I claim your word right now. What if I don't feel it? Well, it doesn't matter if you feel like the depression is gone. Claim the word. I'm casting this on you. I'm not picking it back up. I still feel depressed. I'm casting it on. Make that your prayer all day long. That's what faith is when you don't feel it and you don't see it, that you trust the word of God. It's inconvenient, but there's an inconvenience with the convenience of God. The children of Israel in the Old Testament were God's chosen people. He called Abraham to follow him. He said that his descendants would one day live in the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. They would live in cities and towns they had not built. They would farm fields that they had not planted. God promised all of this. We look at Numbers 33, starting in verse 50. It says, now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. This is on down the line in their heritage. He said, spoke to Moses, speak to the children of Israel. Say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, this is the promised land, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. And then down in verse 55, but if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your side. They shall harass you in the land where you dwell. There's an inconvenience with God, and that is one of obedience. As we walk with the Lord, he will ask us to change. He will ask us to lay things down. He will ask us to grow. He will ask us to give up our own ways of doing things. He will ask us to serve, to sacrifice, to worship, to pray, to fast, and the cost is obedience. The children of Israel had this instruction, drive them out of the land, and all the promises are yours. But they didn't. Find ourselves in the book of Judges. Judges 1, verse 28, it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites under tribute, but did not completely drive them out. God told them to drive them out. But it was more convenient to say, well, we're just going to make you our servants, put you under tribute. You have to provide goods and resources to us. It's a little more convenient to do it that way. We're not going to fully obey your word, God. But we're going to still be rulers of this area. Then we see in Judges 2, verse 1, the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Boshim and said, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you. And it goes downhill quickly. Verse 14 of chapter 2, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, so he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. And so then we see, as you read through the book of Judges, a perpetual cycle. I call it the yo-yo syndrome. They're feeling good. They're up top. Yeah, we're doing great. We're doing great. We've got this, God. We don't need you. We want to do it our way. And God lets them. And what happens? They head down a path of disobedience. Things go badly and they start to fall down in life. They begin to be plundered by enemies around. Crops taken. All their hard work destroyed. They cry out to God and ask for his help, and he's their God. He brings a deliverer along and pulls them up. Way down there, I'm going to pull you up. And then it's right back into the cycle. They're feeling good. And, oh, God, we want to do it our way. We're going to just go down our own path. And God lets them, and they just start a slow descent again. The inconvenience is our obedience. If we want the convenience of God, we have to have the inconvenience of obeying his word. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried, and then he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The gospel of Jesus Christ is that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. And there's an inconvenience of identifying with God, or there's an inconvenience, and that is identifying with God. Jesus died, and so we must die. We die to our wants. We die to our desires. We die to our flesh just as Jesus died physically. We die through repentance. Repentance and saying, "I'm doing my own way. I'm going my own path. But you know what? I'm sorry. It's messing up my life." Or you know what? A scripture comes out. I read a word or I hear the spoken word. And man, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing what God wants. I'm doing my own thing. So God, I turn away from that and I walk toward you. That's what repentance is. It's an about face. That's how we die. Jesus was buried, and so we must be buried. Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism." When you go underneath the waters of baptism, you're buried with Christ. All your sins are washed away. That's when we bury the old man and we can be a new creature, as we read earlier. Jesus rose again and we rise with new life, with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Acts 2:38 puts it all together. Peter was preaching to the masses and they're convicted by his message and realize that they had crucified the Messiah. They didn't know, but they had done it. And they asked the question in verse 37, "What shall we do?" Peter answers them in Acts 2:38, "Repent." It's not just saying, "Sorry, I got caught, God. Sorry, I don't want to." It's saying, "God, I commit to doing, never doing it again." Not saying that we won't mess up and we won't have to repent once again, but as a commitment to walking Jesus' way. "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Paul made this statement to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:31. "I die daily. Every day I identify with Christ and give up my own desires, my own wishes, what my flesh wants to do. Every day I align myself with Jesus Christ, his plan, his purpose, his ways." The inconvenience of a convenient God is that we must identify with him. There's the inconvenience of obedience. There's the inconvenience of identifying Christ. We obey God's word. We repent, making a stand to head God's direction. We get baptized. We're filled with his Spirit. And then the lifelong work begins of preparing the soil. I knew the topic because my wife was teaching the fifth and sixth graders this morning, so I knew that it was about the soils. I didn't look at the notes from this morning's lesson, but as I sat there the last 15 minutes, it's like, okay, God, you wanted this to be solidified a second time. And so some of these things Pastor Seidel already taught us, but God wants to speak to us this morning. The lifelong work begins of preparing the soil. Matthew 13:1-8, I'm going to read it for those who weren't here. It says, "On the same day Jesus went out of the house, sat by the sea. Great multitudes were gathered to him, so he got in a boat. All the multitudes stood on the shore, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell on thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yield a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Later down in the chapter in verse 18, he provides an explanation to the disciples. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he immediately stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns, he is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30. We have to understand when we come to Christ, when we come to the Lord, when we're baptized, when we're filled with the Spirit, it's not like a data dump happens. Plug in a USB and poof, we know everything. We understand everything. We make every single correction. No, it's a lifelong process all the way to heaven. It's a perfecting of the saints, meaning continual. Continue. Not like, okay, I've come to Christ, now I'm perfect, and I have to act perfect and live. No, it's a receptivity of, God, what's next? What more do you have for me? What else do I need to change? What else do I need to lay down? What other room do I need to open in my heart? Hallelujah. It's not like every sinful nature of our lives and past is immediately raised. No, God is going to work on us day by day as long as we allow him to. And so a life with Jesus is a lifelong endeavor to prepare our soil for the word of God. Prepare our soil for the word of God so that when we read the word or hear the word, the soil is ready for the planting and the word results in growth. There are things of God that we naturally and readily would accept into our lives, the good soil, if you will. Yet this parable tells us that there's a potential that 75% of the word of the God that comes into our lives falls on soil in our hearts that has not been prepared. I made this statement a while back. I was preaching, and I've always associated it because I was born in the church, raised in the church, and I've always heard this scripture speaking to those who are preached to, and some are going to hear it and receive it and get in the Lord. Others are just not going to, cares of life. But Lord showed me that all four of these can be us. Wednesday's message, man, that fell on good ground. But today, I don't want to receive it. I don't want to change that. Next Sunday, yeah, that's a good one. Oh, man, no, I don't understand it, it must not apply to me. And how all four of these soils can be in our hearts, and so it's a constant preparing our soil. When the Thompson family moved to Madison, they bought a house in Marshall. They called out the youth group to come and pick rocks. Remember that, Alicia? Oh, she's not in here. That was the worst day ever. They wanted to lay sod and they wanted to get the stones out because they knew it was necessary for the sod to take hold. It was back-breaking work. We had a kid who was just kind of coming around, Brett, forget exactly his name, but it's like I don't think the kid had ever worked a day in his life. He was so miserable. And we were all miserable too, but him especially. It was hot. It was miserable. But now you go to Brother Ben's house, grass looks great. I haven't been. Hopefully I'm telling the truth. Does it look good? Yeah. It's been a rough summer. The stones had to come out so that the roots could take hold. We want God in our lives. We want God's blessings. We want God to get us out of our mess. We want God to move on our behalf. We want God's favor. Yet there's an inconvenience associated with a convenient God. It might take hard work to get the stony soil of our hearts cleaned up so that the word can take a root. We may face some overgrowth and thorns in our hearts that we have to cut back and clear out so his word can take root. We may have to give up some of our own ideas and understanding and ask for God's understanding so his word can land on good soil. When we prepare the soil of our hearts, the word of God will fall on good ground and will change. When we're willing to say, God, whatever you have for me. One of my favorite stories of Brother Thomas. You used to be an assistant pastor, now pastor's down in Stoughton, and I've told this couple times, but he was new in the Lord and so excited. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he played poker every week with buddies, and he was so excited, filled with the Holy Ghost, and went to his weekly poker tournament, poker game, and man, he was raking it in. God was blessing him. He's sitting there just saying, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Won another hand, and one of his friends was like, I don't know what he called him, Rich or Thomas or whatever. Like, what are you doing? He's like, man, guys, I got the Holy Ghost at church, and I'm living for Jesus now. And he was just bold and excited and just, you know, this is the greatest. And look at all the money I'm winning from you guys. I'm embellishing. He'll probably tell it differently, but it gets bigger and bigger in my mind every time I think about it. But one of them looked at him and said, Thomas, you know that Christians don't gamble, don't you? But his heart was ready. He was wanting God, anything with God. Never heard that before. And as he tells you, he got up from the table and said, okay, you guys can have all of it. Walked away. Never gambled again. The word, you think you got to read the word or hear the, man, someone who's in sin might know more scripture than you do. Says, wait a minute, you proclaim faith in Christ, but that's not how a Christian should act. And if your soil is ready, that can be a drop of the word of God. And like, oh, God, I'm ready to change. And he walked away from that. The inconvenience of preparing the soil. If you would stand with me, the musicians would come. We all want the conveniences of life. I know I do. Love technology when it works. We want the convenience of God. I know I do. I want to have him accessible anytime that I need. I need his benefits. I need his touch in my life. I need the wisdom of God to maneuver through life. But with a convenient God, we must embrace in the inconvenience of obedience. This is what the Bible says, so I got to do it. Well, that's not how society is. Yeah, that's the inconvenience of obeying God. It might be countercultural. A lot of things are. We have to embrace the inconvenience of identifying with him. We need to repent. We need to be baptized in Jesus' name. We need to be filled with his Spirit, which gives us power to live an overcoming life. And we must embrace the inconvenience of preparing the soil. It's not easy. It's a lifelong work. Those who've been here for years, I thank you. Some of our elders come up and say, man, I was thinking the other day and God really spoke to me. I didn't want to come to church and because it's dark at night, but God, you know, gave me a kick in the rear, and I came, and man, God really spoke to me. And this is someone who's been coming for years and years, decades, and God's still speaking. Why? Because they've tilled the soil. God, I want to know more. God, is there any wicked way in me? Psalms 139. Lead me, God, into the path of righteousness. Is there something more I need from you, God? Is there something I need to change? God has precious truths for our lives. He has a healing work to be done in our hearts. He has deliverance for our addictive behaviors. He has a new life waiting for us. All we have to do is respond to him. It's inconvenient. I just want to come and feel good and go the same. I'll just deal with the problems. Why? Well, it's inconvenient. It takes time to get through my mess of my childhood. Yeah, it does. God's a counselor. He'll give you insight to why you think the way you think if you seek after him. God's a comforter. I don't want to bother God. God cares for us. He loves us. But all we have to do is the inconvenience of responding. We have a custom here at Calvary Gospel, which folks from all over the sanctuary come down to the front. So we want to give everyone an opportunity to respond to the word every service that we have. I want to encourage everyone to take some time this morning to hear from God. You know, sometimes we... got two young kids, and so sometimes it's like, man, they're being crazy this morning, God. I don't have time to respond. I really want to, but Wednesday night, that just dug into my heart. There's a couple things Sister Vicky preached, and Fiona's on the other side with Josiah, and I was like, I got Malachi, but I'm like, you know what, God, I need to hear from you. Man, he was playing cards on my back, crawling all over, but I took time. I said, this is inconvenient with a 4-year-old, God, but you know what? I've got to have you. There'll be someone here who, if you need a moment with God, turn to someone and say, can you watch my kids? I need to get a hold of God this morning. Yeah, it's inconvenient, but take the time, because God's got something for you, and only you know what it is that he's speaking to your heart about this morning. But I would encourage you, as is custom, come down to the front. Find a place to pray. Amen. The inconvenience of a convenient God. Hallelujah. Let's find a place to pray together.
I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead.
It is declared to you. My past is over and new. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you. My past is over and new.
Let's bring our needs to Him. Let's bring our cares to Him. You need a healing, come on up, we'll pray with you. You need to repent, lay aside the sin, the weights that are ensnaring you. Come down. Let them go. Be free this morning. You need your sins washed away in baptism. We'll baptize you this morning. Come on up.
My past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving,
I surrender my life to you, Jesus.
Forward.
That you can move forward in my life, God. That you can move, Lord, myself another level, Lord.
One moment.
Peel another layer off that hurt,
God.
Get a little deeper into my life, Jesus.
I found in you, you're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I need to declare to you my past is over. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you. My past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. With all power in your hands, you have given me a second chance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, yeah, 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 yeah. I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead. Declare to you, my past is over in you.
ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward.
What a moment you have brought me to such a freedom. I have found in you, you're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah, yeah.
Past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving.